John chapter 8, verse 44, as Jesus is speaking here to the Jews, many of them who, the Bible says, actually believed Him. In verse 31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, and as He moves through the conversation, He gets down to this point where there is a great conflict between Jews, Jesus and the Jews, and this is what He tells them. In verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And we'll conclude there this morning, this portion of God's holy word. Many years ago, one of our former members who some time ago moved away to another part of the country told me about her experience in going to a funeral one day in one of our churches, one of the churches on Church Circle. She arrived late and she took a seat, and after looking around, after listening to the eulogy, she realized she was at the wrong funeral. This is a true story. She did not even know who the deceased was. And that has always been humorous to me, and I'll never forget the story. But the moral of the story, she was in the wrong ball game, so to speak. The wrong place. Sometimes we all are in the wrong place, we're in the wrong ball game, and we're fighting sometimes an enemy with the wrong weapons. A number of years ago, when the fast food restaurants were multiplying, and some of you remember when there were no fast food restaurants, and I remember the first one up in Charleston, West Virginia, was Burger Chef, I think the name of it was. You could get like 10 hamburgers for a dollar. That's been a while ago. I remember some years ago pulling up to a Burger King and all my children in the back seat of the car, my wife here. And I said, "Give me a Big Mac and fries and a drink." And it was like, "Sir, we don't serve Big Macs here at Burger King." Okay. I was in the wrong place. I was in the wrong ball game. This is not where it's happening. I've visited several historic cities in the South: Charleston, Savannah, St. Augustine. I love history. I love to visit old churches in these towns. There's always something that vexes my spirit, and that is, it seems like the most important tour is the ghost walk at dusk. And they're always advertising a ghost walk. We'll take you through the old houses and tell you about the ghosts that are still living there, and the cemeteries, the ghosts that still haunt the town. That always just ruins my vacation. Makes me ill-minded. I remember going to Lexington, Virginia, the home of Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee. There's so much history there. There's this big advertisement about a ghost walk at 8:30. "Hey guys, you're in the wrong ball game. That's silliness. I'm not interested in ghost walks. I can do that in Kingsport, Tennessee, you know. Ghost walks when you have all this history here. You're in the wrong ball game. When we think about evil in this world, I think sometimes we don't really understand what the evil really is and who he is and how he works. We're often in the wrong ball game. You've got to understand your enemy and how he works and able to defend yourself and able to defeat him. In America, we think of evil in terms of horror movies. Vampires and Frankensteins and Dracula and Jekyll and Hyde. Werewolves. Going back to 1956, the invasion of the body snatchers. 1968, Rosemary's Baby. 1986, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. 1973, The Exorcist. 1991, The Silence of the Lambs. Jaws. Friday the 13th. I don't watch horror movies. I never could figure out why people go and pay money to be scared half to death. I've got better things to spend my money on than paying for somebody to scare me. But we in America identify such things as horror and evil. In politics, we identify evil with Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden. Maybe rightly so, I suppose, to some degree. But my point this morning is, hey guys, you're in the wrong ball game. If you think of evil in terms of horror stories and guns and wars and dictators, I think you've made a big mistake. Not that those things are good, but that's not really where our enemy is. One of the strategies of war is to identify who your enemy is and what his weapons are, if you're going to win the war. The problem with the war on terrorism is difficult to identify who our enemy is. It's difficult to find him. He also does not fight fair. The duels of the 18th century were fair fights. Face to face, you knew who your enemy was. I'm not approving duels. In World War II, we had an enemy. His name was Hitler. We knew where he was in Germany, and we're going to go get him. Today, we're not sure where our enemies are. They may be in our own community, and we don't know them. I think that's God's judgment upon our country. One of the blessings of God upon a nation is that security. And our enemies are not able to get inside of our borders. But today we no longer have that security. Our borders are open for all the enemies of the world who hate us. That's not God's blessing upon us. You must know who your enemy is and what his weapons are. In the old Wild West, the Indians ruled the West until they faced the rifle, the Gatling gun, the Winchester. And their reign was over. They could not in any way defend themselves against those kind of weapons. In World War II, Japan was rampant with supremacy. But they didn't know about the atomic bomb. You better know your enemy, and you better know his weapons, or you will be destroyed. I think most of us have correctly identified who our enemy is, but I don't think we understand his most potent weapons. I think sometimes we're in the wrong battle. We're fighting the wrong people. We have miscalculated how our enemy works. Who is our enemy? Who was Jesus' enemy? Well, it was not primarily the Jews, but it was one whom he called the devil. Verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil." Folks, the devil is the real enemy, not some actor in a horror movie, not some one embodied in the human body, not Hitler, not Osama bin Laden. The Bible speaks of an evil person, of an evil spirit, and the Bible gives that person a name called the devil. He is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of man. He is the enemy of everything good and pure and right. He has other names: Beelzebub, Belial, Satan. It's all the same person. How he came to exist is not an arena which I'm going to get into. We can study that. We can talk about the angels falling in heaven and so forth. Why did a sovereign God let him exist? Those are difficult questions, maybe too difficult for me. But the fact is, wherever he came from, why God allowed it to happen, the fact is that he does exist. And he controls men and makes them do what he wants them to do. Verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father." He doesn't push them against their wills. He creates in them a desire to do what he wants to see accomplished. And what he wants to see accomplished is that everything God stands for to come tumbling down. He wants to see people die. He wants to murder you. The devil wants to see you dead in the grave without any resurrection. He wants to hurt you. He will tempt you. He will do everything he can to destroy you. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's not a fairyland world. That's the real world. That's going on. That's what's going on right now in the world. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and the devil. God is seeking to give life. The devil is seeking to destroy everything that God does that is good. Jesus says, he was a murderer, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning. From the beginning, from the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve and He gave them life. He gave them a garden to enjoy. But the devil was there. And the devil came to bring sin and death. And he did. And that's why we have hospitals, we have funeral homes, we have prisons, we have cemeteries. And every time, in a sense, there's a funeral, the devil rejoices. Every time there's a death, every time there's a sickness, every time you have to go to the hospital, every time there's a pain, every time there's a fear, the devil rejoices. because he hates you and wants to see you destroyed. He is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And his desire is to bring death and sickness and pain and tears into your life and to make you miserable. The book of Revelation calls him the great dragon, the serpent of old, who is called devil and the Satan. There is a battle of good and evil in the world going on behind the scenes of what we see between God and the devil. The devil hates God, and the devil hates everything that God made. And God hates the devil. They hate each other. The devil desires to destroy everything that God loves. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, he's your adversary, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whomever he may destroy. The devil is always around us, always there. He's here this morning, trying to frustrate the glory of God. Trying to destroy somebody. Is there somebody here today he can get to? Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Maybe he can get to you today. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the devil. Paul says the devil is your enemy. And you've got to put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm, because it's not easy to stand when he's attacking. Luke 22:3, Judas Iscariot betrayed God. And the Bible said the reason he betrayed God, and Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Satan entered into him and made him betray Christ. Led him to betray Christ. Created in him a desire to betray Christ so that Christ might be put to death. But God has the last laugh, doesn't he? God has the last laugh. The devil came and tempted Christ at the beginning of his, at the very beginning of his ministry. It was going to be settled. You know, who's going to rule the world here? The Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 1, that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And also in that same chapter, it says in verse 10, then Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan! For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Jesus won his battle against the devil. It was a battle. It was a struggle. And the devil was there to take his life and take the life of all his elect, to destroy them. If I can only win this battle, it will nullify all the good that Christ will do. That's who our enemy is. If we know who our enemy is, we're at least in the right ballgame. We're at the right funeral, right? But where I see the greatest error in modern world is in how Satan works. That is where we have failed. And I think that is where we are at the wrong funeral home. Brethren, forget about the horror movies. Those silly ghost walks. Silliness. Walking zombies, exorcists, ghosts and goblins of Halloween. Walking in cemeteries at night. What are you afraid of? That's not your enemy. That's foolishness. That's a diversion. That's not where Satan does his work. Let me give you the one major weapon of Satan. And it's very simple. He's a liar. He's a liar. That's his weapon. That's his major weapon. That's the weapon by which he seeks to destroy the world. And that's what Jesus said here in John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The weapon of Satan is very simple. And it's not a matter of flamboyant swords and evils and fears that we have that's going on out there in the world of things that may scare us. The weapon of Satan by which he destroys is simply he lies. And he convinces people of a lie. The weapon of Satan, the first weapon he used in the Garden of Eden, was when he told Eve, after God had told her, "You shall surely die." And the devil didn't come with a whole host of soldiers and swords and masks and fear to destroy her. What did he do? He just simply said one thing. "You shall surely not die." That's all he did. He said one sentence. "You shall surely not die." And it was a lie. The first lie in the whole world we have recorded. He challenged God's Word. And that's his weapon. Very simple. The devil simply challenges God's Word. And that's where he wins the battle. Because once he's done that, once he's convinced us that God is not telling us the truth or there's a better way, we're doomed for death and destruction. The danger of the devil is not in ghost houses, not in Draculas, not in cemeteries, not in snakes. The danger of the devil is in places where people say, "The Word of God is not true." In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart and caused you to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Why did Ananias die? He lied. Satan's power is most evident where the Word of God is contradicted or suppressed. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Our battle with Satan is primarily a battle for the minds of men. It's a battle over what is true and what is a lie. It's a battle for the superiority of God's Word over all of life. That's the battle. That's where the battle is. That's where you have to be afraid. Don't be afraid in horror movies. Don't be afraid in cemeteries. Don't take those silly ghost walks where God does His damage, or where the devil does his damage, is where God says this is true and the devil says maybe not. And we believe Him. Look what Satan has done. In some churches they seldom hear the whole counsel of God. It's not that Satan has contradicted God's word. He's just simply nullified it. He suppressed it. Most churches do not hear counsel of God proclaimed. One victory for the devil. Don't worry about Halloween. Worry about churches where the whole counsel of God is not proclaimed. That's where the devil is, and that's where his weapon does its most damage. Some churches disregard the Old Testament. They just wrote off about two-thirds of the Bible. Some churches hardly ever preach the law of God. We're under grace. We're not under law. They've ripped the law of God out of the Bible. And what they do is substitute love and feelings and experience, and that has replaced the law of God, it's replaced the Word of God. Give another victory for the devil. That's where the battle is. God made the world in 6 days. Smart people don't believe that anymore. The world was made over millions of years. We all evolved from nothing or something. That's a lie. And I've often said before, maybe in this congregation, that in our public schools, many years ago, we told our teachers to teach their children that they came from monkeys. And then when they started acting like monkeys, we didn't know what to do. We're strange. We can't understand it. They're acting like monkeys. Well, you taught them a lie. You taught them that they came from monkeys. Don't you understand that? It's a lie. And when the devil speaks a lie, the consequences is very damaging. God made sex for marriage. And the world doesn't believe that anymore. God said that a man is to sleep with a man and a woman is to sleep with a man. A man and a woman get married. Not a man and a man. And the world is teaching us that's a lie. That's not true. And we're reaping the results of that today. The Bible says, owe no man anything. And our national debt is $9 trillion. $9 trillion and growing and growing and growing. And I don't know if we ever have any plans to pay it off. We have been told, we have been taught that we can create money out of nothing, that we can inflate ourselves into wealth, and there'll never be a judgment day. That's a lie. That's a lie. Don't you dare believe it. Do not commit murder. And we're still killing hundreds of thousands of babies in the womb every year. These are lies. Reinforced in modern world by television and magazine and books and the universities. Many universities. They contradict and they suppress the Word of God and God's truth. And you know what? You're paying for it. I guess that's what gets me. I'm paying for it. You know those taxes? It's almost April the 17th, you know, and all those taxes you send into the government. You know where it ends up? A lot of those taxes? In these universities that teach people that we came from monkeys and that sex outside of marriage is natural and it's fine for men to marry men and women to marry women. And that's what they're teaching. And you're paying for it out of your money. That check that you write or had been taken out of your checkbook or your payment is going to teach people, going to pay people to teach lies. And these lies will destroy. It's coming out of Hollywood. It's hard to go to a movie and not see adultery or fornication as a standard way of life. Even movies that we like Father of the Bride, they commit adultery. My wife and I went to a movie last week, and we sounded good. It sounded like it would be okay, and we sat there, and no, before long we're slouching in our seats, hoping that nobody sees us here. Why did we pay money to support Hollywood to teach lies? That's much more dangerous than Frankenstein. A biology class where they teach that evolution, that we all came from some one-celled amoeba, that's much more dangerous than Dracula. Or a psychology class where they teach that some perversion is natural. And you can get a degree for writing a paper about it and agreeing with a professor. That's much more dangerous than werewolves. That's where the battle's raging, my friends. That's the weapon of the devil. The one weapon of the devil is not to scare you in the dark. You know, sometimes when I leave the church here, I leave and all the lights are off. The lights, you've got to turn them on out there, and I'm here in the daytime and I leave in the dark. And I've learned how to get out of here at dark. You know, you take three steps this way, three steps that way, and then three, and you're home free pretty much. And every once in a while I think, ooh, I'm scared. It's the dark. That's silly. That's silly. The devil doesn't care about that. That's not his weapon. Some of you are in the wrong ballgame. Our enemy is not a ghost in Ghostbusters. Our enemy is walking around in a suit and tie, being paid by our taxes, with a PhD following his name, and saying the Bible is irrelevant. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." That's where the battle rages. Not over your fears of the dark and going to the graveyard or going to a funeral home. You know, sometimes as you grow up, the first time you go to a funeral home, it's like, whoa, I don't want to go. I'm afraid of dead people. Don't be afraid of dead people. Be afraid of living people, right? And we think, well, I'm afraid. I'm scared. That's not where the battle is. That's a diversion. The battle is where men speak things which they say are truth that are contradictory to God's Word. That's where the battle is, wherever that may be. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 summarized his ministry in this way. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for destruction of fortresses. For we are destroying speculations of every lofted thing risen up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's where the battle rages. Our battle today is for the minds of men and for the minds of our children. We must reestablish the Word of God as truth in all areas of life. We must study God's Word. We must become familiar with God's truth. We must be able to detect a lie from the truth. That's where the battle is. And I hope none of you are at the wrong funeral home. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we have sometimes fought the wrong enemy and the wrong battles. We've been afraid of the wrong things. Lord, help us to fear a lie more than anything. Help us to know that anything that contradicts God's Word will bring us death and destruction. Our Father, we thank Thee that Christ, in His death, was victorious over sin, and that He defeated Satan, and that He now sends His Spirit that we might know the truth. For the truth shall free us from the bonds of the devil himself. Grant that we learn these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.